You're listening to the Great Day in Sales podcast, brought to you by Alessio. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us on the Great Day in Sales podcast. I have a great guest today, Matt Buchalski. He's coming in from RealPage. He's the VP of sales there. And the conversation's been great so far. So we needed to just start the podcast. Really enjoyed talking to him and his experiences. Matt, welcome to the podcast. We're glad you're here.
Thanks, Justin. I'm glad to be here. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome. Yeah, you have this wealth of knowledge. You kind of framed it as two different careers that you've already had that's brought you here. Why don't you just walk us through real quick kind of your background and how you've now landed at RealPage?
Yeah, great. Happy to get started. So yeah, you hit the nail right on the head. I've been blessed to have one career with two, you know, kind of chapters, if you will. I spent the first 14, 15 years of my career in financial sales, financial services sales, stockbroker, collections, and then equipment leasing for 5 years. And right around 2010, I made the switch into technology. Towards the tail end of my tenure in finance, the iPhone came out, and I definitely kind of saw and felt a really tectonic shift happening and decided I wanted to be into technology. So I did a year at T-Mobile. And then I moved into enterprise sales with CA Technologies, Hewlett Packard, did the startup thing. And then I landed here at RealPage about 3.5 years ago now.
That's fantastic. What has your 3.5 years there? What has that been like? Has there been a lot of change? Have you been able to just kind of been consistent every year, hitting quota, things like that? Or have there been some big changes at the organization?
I mean, there's been a ton of changes. So less than a year after I started here, we got taken private in a PE acquisition by Thoma Bravo. And that was really exciting because I think while we had grown significantly even prior to my joining the company, Thoma Bravo taking us over at that point in time really signaled to me that there was a lot of really unrealized value that they saw in the company. And to me, any sort of major milestones like that are always very exciting because typically it comes with some level of change, either product or org or structure or go to market or marketing or all of the above. And that's really kind of the type of environment that I think I thrive in. All right, throw a little chaos and a little bit of restructuring at me and I'm a happy guy. But you know, it's no secret that as COVID progressed in 2020 and into 2021, you know, the housing market got very, very hot. And RealPage, before COVID had even happened, RealPage had really embarked on this kind of paperless leasing journey and treating the leasing experience as more of an e-commerce type transaction. And then COVID happened and it really kind of accelerated our growth. So to have joined the company at that time and came in with a whole lot of energy and a clear vision of what I wanted to accomplish, and quite frankly, some amazing executive sponsorship from both my boss, one of the GMs of the company, and our chief sales officer. We've had quite a run. I started with 10 people in June of 2020, and I think we're in the mid 50s now, and we've created several organizations from the ground up within that 3.5 year time, and it's been a lot of fun. We've promoted a lot of people. We've set new records, pipeline, revenue, the whole thing, and cultivated some amazing talent. We've hired, trained, and promoted 60 people across the organization in that 3.5 year period. And a very solid percentage of those people have gone on and become Achievers Club performers too. So now you take the revenue piece, you take the organizational growth piece, but then you look at people that you hired and trained and see them take the next steps in their careers, and it just becomes a very, very fulfilling experience. So it's been a great time. It's been a great run. And honestly, as we close out the year here and start thinking about next year, I'm really excited about where we're headed as a company and some exciting things that we're working on for overall and for my team specifically.
That's awesome. Congratulations on helping so many people in their careers as well. I think that's incredible. You had mentioned something, Matt. You know, you identified the iPhone, and I just have to mention it. There's a viral video going around of Regis Philbin, Regis and Kelly, and how hit hey, this iPhone's coming out. And he's going, oh my gosh, how am I going to, you know, he had so much doubt. And yet I love that you right away are like, this iPhone's coming out. It's time to shift. It's time. There's a big thing coming and I want to be a part of that. And you go join T-Mobile. And then your timing couldn't have been better joining RealPage as well as a leader there. Is there some secret to this kind of ability to identify new opportunities that maybe you could shed some light on for our listeners? Like what are some things that you're always looking for when you look for an opportunity?
Yeah, a great question. And honestly, I'll tell you, I'm probably luckier than I am good. But you know, I'm not the smartest guy in the room. I'm a college dropout. I think I've really outworked a lot of, you know, I'm a workhorse, right? But I also source information from a lot of really reliable places, at least in my opinion. And I'm constantly listening to financial news. I'm active in the stock market. I pay attention to what companies are growing, why they're growing, the strategies that they're deploying. And when you start to see consumer adoption at a high rate of certain things, it signals a change to me. And that's what I saw in at least in what, 2008, 2009, when the iPhone first came out. It was the phone itself, which was really cool. And then it was the App Store, and then it was iTunes. And it's like, okay, these guys are really onto something. And what's the downstream effect? What's the supply chain reaction of that type of transformation? And yet all of these companies that were writing apps so they can be on the App Store so that people who had iPhones can use them. I mean, this isn't going to stop anytime soon. And that was just a really good, clear opportunity for me. The real estate side on RealPage, like I'm a, you know, I've been dabbling in real estate in my own portfolio now for, I don't know, 6 or 7, 8 years now. And I think the timing of RealPage was probably more coincidence than anything. But what attracted me to RealPage was it was a combination of what I'm good at, which I think is building teams and building businesses, and something I'm passionate about, which is real estate. Right. And right around that time, I started to do a whole lot of introspection about what career opportunities I had that got me very, very excited. And those two things lined up again for the first time in a really long time. And so in my current role, I get to build great teams. I have three different teams in my organization right now. Two of the three have been grown organically. The third has been kind of a rebuild and an expansion. And I take those things and layer them in with my own personal knowledge and passion for real estate. And the fact that I get to talk to owners every day, and it's just very fulfilling. And it's just kind of this circle and this continuously fulfilling circle that I get to experience on a day-to-day basis and keeps me super engaged and really passionate about where we are and where we're headed.
That's great. You know, you keep mentioning team building, which clearly it's a passion of yours. So I'd love to kind of learn from you about that. What do you look for in building a team? And it can be very tactical, maybe around like, yeah, I want my team hitting 150% of quota before we add a new two people to it. Or it could be as much as, yeah, when we get the right person, then I add them to the team. What is your strategy behind team building? And you've gone from 10 to 60 people, and then you said you now have three teams. What's your thought process and strategy behind that?
Yeah, I'll get to that in a second, Justin. But what gets me to that point is the leader that hires me, right? And I want to know that the leader who hires me has a clear vision of what he or she wants to achieve. And, you know, the whole adage of, you know, you're not taking a job, you're taking on a leader, really kind of hit me square a couple of years ago. And when I first met my boss here at RealPage, we were 45 minutes into our interview before we'd even talked business, right? We both love fishing. We both love obstacle course racing. We both love to stay fit, though I think he's probably doing a better job of that at the moment than I am. We just had a ton in common. I'm like, okay, this is a guy that I can go to war with every day. And he had this vision and he's like, this is what I want to build. And I said, well, this is how I think I can help you. And then I take the job and I start on the first day. I'm like, he wasn't kidding. This is not going to function and sustain for very long. And it's a matter of coming up with a vision, hiring the right people, creating a culture and a subculture where these people can be successful, nurturing them and coaching them in a way that they don't feel micromanaged. They feel encouraged. They feel like they're moving towards something, both personally and as a group. And then you get to critical mass. You get the wrong people off the bus. You get the right people on the bus, all the classic Jim Collins stuff. And what I'm very, very grateful for is that everything I said I was going to do, we've done, right? And the investment from the company, the confidence, the faith, and the autonomy from the company has not stopped since. I out of the starting gate, I made a very, very key hire and a frontline manager who's done an absolutely phenomenal job and has since moved up himself and taken on more responsibility. And we've looked for every opportunity to surpass and blow away the expectations that the company's had for us, because as we've done that, they've trusted us with more people, larger budgets, and then the people that we groomed started to outperform people that we were hiring off the street at a very, very significant clip. And so when that started to happen, they're like, how do we do even more of this? Because we're getting the pipeline, we're getting the bookings. Now we have this talent supply chain too. And when I start to see all those, you know, green lights, that gets me energized and makes me want to work even harder. So we've overhauled the onboarding program 3 times. We won BrainShark's Customer of the Year in 2021 or 2022 because we used that as kind of the core infrastructure for our onboarding program. We've gotten people promoted numerous times since then. It's been this incessant path of growth up and to the right because we focused on the right people, creating the culture, optimizing for results, continuously iterating on process and training and encouragement. And it's just gotten us to where we are today. So long-winded answer to your question, but that's kind of the summarization of it.
No, I love that. And you know, you talked a lot about promoting people within, that was kind of a sense of pride for you that so much of that team has grown. You've been able to hire, but then also you made some really key hires that have now taken on more responsibility. Is that, you know, how much of your managerial kind of brain, that side of your brain, is focused on making people, kind of lifting people up around you? Is that a big focus of yours, kind of working on helping your people move up to the next level in their career?
Absolutely. Training, development, and coaching are verbs and not nouns for me. I think training is an ongoing thing. It's not like, you know, we throw a bunch of videos at people and kind of let them go figure it out. We have a leadership team here that's passionate about investing in our people, everything from one-on-ones, book clubs, training. We've had Tony Robbins coaches come in and talk to the team. Mm-hmm. We've had authors. We've had Zig Ziglar coaches. Keenan just dropped in on one of our book clubs a couple of months ago. We did a gap selling book club. Keenan joined us for the last episode of it. We are absolutely committed to the training and development of our team. And I think when I back myself up, it is talking in detail to my peers and superiors about where they're headed from a strategy perspective, figuring out how to leverage my teams to add value in those areas. Because I think when you create those types of strategic partnerships and those strategic collaboration opportunities and it works, we succeed, right? So I'm looking for those types of strategic alignment opportunities, white space opportunities that I think we can get after in a meaningful way. And then always how to train the team better. I think the higher, what's the old saying, right? People don't rise to the occasion. They fall back to the level of their training. And I think if you're constantly training the team and doing it effectively on relevant topics, they just perform better. And with continued, sustained, superior performance, you justify continued growth, continued attention, more sponsorship. And then when the next opportunity comes along, they're like, hey, those guys have been getting it done for 2 or 3 years now. You know, figure out, go talk to them and see what they would suggest on what to do next.
Yeah, and that's fun. It's fun having some of the names you had dropped there. you know, join your team just as a motivator, as an additional kind of point of view in the training, as well as coaching. Yeah, that's great that you've been working on those things with your team. And obviously, as you're finding success, you can add on to that. Customer of the Year for Brain Shark. That's fantastic. What do you feel like your the way that you sell has changed going from, I mean, obviously now you're in this real estate sector, and you were at more in the mobile telecommunication side with T-Mobile. Do you feel like your approach to the role has changed as the product has changed, or the value or the use case of the product has changed, or do you feel like it stayed fairly consistent through those various opportunities?
No, it's definitely become how we approach deals has definitely how I approach deals and ultimately how we approach deals has definitely changed. You know, I think this all started at T-Mobile, and that was 12 years ago. But my time at CA, you know, I started to hear about Medic and some of the more, you know, solution and consultative selling methods. And then HPE was very kind of transactional, so there wasn't a whole lot of sales process. There was also channel led. So, you know, we were really aligned with channel and bringing customers to the table. But at ThoughtSpot, Medic turned into MedPick apparently in that 3 years. And we spent a lot of time on that. We did command of the message a lot and training on very polished, very prescriptive solution training methodologies came front and center. And then when it came to RealPage, you know, we are the 800-pound gorilla in the room, right? We have, you know, great market share. We have a very deep product portfolio. And in some ways, we're transactional. But what I think the last 18 months worth of market dynamic and market shifts have shown us is that we need to run our sales plays differently. The days of kind of discretionary spending from our customers have disappeared, and we need to be more consultative, practicing selling to the C-suite, building champions inside of accounts. And here comes MedPick all over again. And I've spent the last 18 months or so with my team talking about how to build champions in account and how to sell to the CFO and how to start selling to the CFO before the CFO is even in the picture. Because you can bet your bottom dollar that they may not be telling you about it, but the people that you're talking to in your accounts, your champions, are probably talking to the CFO or someone in the C-suite about how the evaluation cycle is going. And if we can get out ahead of that, then we're going to convert deals at a higher rate and win more business. And so I think we still have a lot of work to do there, but you know, we're talking literally about MedPick on a deal by deal basis, how we're testing our champions, how we're understanding their decision process. I just did deal reviews with the team on Monday, and everybody wants to make sure that their champions are going to be around for Christmas. They have backup phone numbers. They have, you know, their second in command's phone number. We have contracts out by this Friday. We have enough runway to get legal reviews. So we're really getting very, very diagnostic about the deals. And also at the same time, making sure that we're generating pipeline for Q1. So it's definitely become way more finessed. And if you would ask me 12 or 13 years ago if I was going to be as well-versed and committed to a consultative sales methodology as I am now, I probably would have told you no way. But I think there's a ton of value in it. And I think we still have so much runway to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love how you broke that down. And phone numbers are so important. Like, being able to kind of lean on that champion and say, hey, can we get this done this month, and really and focus on that. It sounds like you've identified a trend, and we've noticed this too at Alessio, where the C-suite has to validate and approve pretty much any spend. That discretionary spend for managers or even directors has kind of gone, and you're typically talking to the C-suite at some point, most likely. I mean, and you guys being somewhat larger ACV situation, do you feel like it's just you're always talking to C-suite at this point, or what does the trend seem like for you?
I feel like we don't always start off there, but okay, we are definitely ending up there more often lately, right? And you know, if you think about the multifamily market in context, coming into 2023, it's changed very, 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 very quickly, right? coming into this year, a lot of our customers had budgets and strategies to continue to grow their business. Then you have inflation. Then you have interest rates going through the roof very, very quickly. And then pretty much across the nation, property taxes and insurance went through the roof. And once you ice your budget for the year, it's very difficult to go make back or find money for those unbudgeted and frankly non-negotiable items. So you have rents or revenue that's flatlining or in some cases decreasing, and you have your OPEX going up and to the right, and it creates a cash crunch for some of these companies, a lot of these companies, right? And so if you're coming at them in Q2, Q3, Q4 with this next great technology that's going to solve all their problems, even if they have a lot of pain and they need the solution, finding the money is just not easy. And you know, you ultimately have to have an executive level conversation with someone or the entire C-suite about the strategic importance of this investment and how they're going to see short, medium, and long-term ROI on it. You know, we go through extensive financial models with these folks about ROI, and luckily in multifamily real estate, there's a lot of common nomenclature and KPIs that we can talk to about it, but it's more important than ever right now. And I think my team is probably sick of me sending them the latest articles from LinkedIn about how to sell into the CFO's office and the C-suite overall more effectively now than ever. I should probably send them two or three articles a week, and we talk about that in our team meetings and in our deal reviews.
Yeah, no, I we've identified that too. That yeah, I mean your buyer may be the same, but that CFO is like the ultimate decision maker more and more. So yeah, you need to learn how to sell into that space.
I think today, more often than not, the people that we think are buyers are champions, and maybe not even that. I think what we've seen is the budget gets so elevated inside our organizations that the buyers, the people that we would have considered buyers 12, 18, 24 months ago, are now influencers, and maybe some of them are champions. I just think there's so much scrutiny on budgets and investments right now that the entire power, the power chain is lifted up so significantly. And you can see that in the VC land too. I mean, VCs have been relatively quiet. They're being super selective about their investments. And I think the same thing happens on unbudgeted items at the B2B level as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to go back to just one topic, since I felt like we had a theme of you know, you growing a team and what that means to manage a team and what you do for your A players and helping them kind of grow. My question is just, what benefit does that give you, being able to promote from within and really help people grow in their career at your company, as opposed to just hiring and bringing people in? And you probably have done a blend, as most companies would, but what type of advantage do you feel like you get from leveling up people from within and helping them grow in their career at your company on your team?
Number one, credibility. And, you know, number two, I think it's personal brand, right? I came into RealPage, and very quickly after I started, I told my boss and our chief sales officer that our three products in my group are pipeline, bookings, and people. And there's not a town hall that goes by where, you know, one of our, or the stack rank of our top performers, you know, four out of the top 10 have come out of our SDR group, or someone that's graduated from our CSW group, and how they've elevated themselves. And we've done comparative studies on, you know, new hires and graduates of our career progression programs, and they're significantly more productive. So, you know, I think we've also done a very good job building relationships and credibility with some of the other leaders across this business. And they literally come to us and they say, we'd rather hire people from your teams than hire externally, because they know RealPage. We're a big company. They know how to navigate the systems and the people and the processes and who to call, and they understand the value prop of the products. They're just that much more productive, that much more quickly. So, you know, we do absolutely take a lot of pride in the people we hire. We're definitely not perfect. We're continuing to look at that and reflect and get better. But we're constantly looking at the people that we hire. How do we train them? How do we develop them? How do we keep them in seat and engaged long enough? And then ultimately, how do we promote them into the right roles? Not every person is going to be cut out for an account executive role. Some of them need to be kind of more narrowly focused inside of a certain solution set. Some of them are, you know, better new logo hunters than expansion reps and vice versa. So it's about understanding the personalities, the people, the wishes that our folks want and trying to put them in the right place.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. So Matt, we usually end the podcast with the question of what does a great day in sales look like to you? And the reason we do that is because, yeah, the 6-7-figure deal days, those are fantastic. And maybe a lot of people are in sales just for that one day of the year. But, you know, we believe at Alessio, every day can be a great day in sales. What does that look like to you, having a great day in sales other than just the big days you close?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I've spent a lot of time thinking about this. The days you get the contract in are fantastic, right? The drinks afterwards, the high fives, the celebrations, but it's the little wins along the way that are the ones that lead up to the big ones. And I know I'm not unique when I say that, but I really do believe it, right? Writing that great email to an executive that when you could have just gone to the default one in Sales Loft, when you take the time to customize the email and they write you back and say, that was the best email I've gotten in 2 months. I have time next Tuesday, right? That's a great day in sales. Doing that consistently is a great day in sales. Learning something new is a great day in sales. Qualifying out rather than qualifying in. So you're spending, you know, time on more high impact opportunities and high impact customers. That's a great day in sales. Making the guy next to you and the man or the woman next to you smile when they're having a bad day because they got hung up on all day, that's a great day in sales. Elevating your teammates and yourselves up, that's a great day in sales. I think there's so many ways to get stuck on what's broken, what's not working, what do we not have enough of, what tool do we need? And look, at the end of the day, before all this technology stuff came, there was a lot of people making a lot of money calling the phone book and going door to door without any of sort of this advanced sonar and radar stuff that we're using today, which is super helpful. Don't get me wrong, but it's their attitude and how they make every day count. Move the ball down the field, whether you got to get dirt under your fingernails or go inch by inch, just don't give up. And at the end of the day, if you only moved 6 inches, but you wanted to move 5 yards, you still moved 6 inches. And nobody's going to care how long it took you to get there. They just care that you get there.
Yeah, I like that. Just keep moving. Don't be in one place. Yeah, I appreciate that. We think there was a time when it was a lot easier to get a hold of folks and have demos consistently. And that has certainly changed now, but we believe it's still a great day in sales, and it's an incredible role to be a part of. And a lot of people are doing well in it. So I'm glad you share in that outlook as well. So Matt, thank you so much. We want to thank you for joining us on the podcast. Great anecdotes and just sharing with us your experience in your various roles. It's been fantastic. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Justin. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks so much. You've been a great host, by the way, too.
All right. Well, thank you very much. We'll have to do this again very soon.
Well, let's do it.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for listening to the Great Day in Sales podcast. Check us out at podcast.alessio.ai or anywhere you stream podcasts.